be an animal. Come hear the animals. Talking animals. Talking animals.
Good morning. This is Talking Animals on WMNF. I'm Duncan Strauss. My guest today is Elizabeth Olson, who lives in Palm Harbor and is the founder of not one but two animal organizations whose missions intersect. Rescue Pink's mission is to reduce euthanasia and pet homelessness by promoting and funding spay-neuter programs. Partnering with top-tier veterinary clinics, Rescue Pink has sponsored high-volume events, fixing up to 60 animals in a single day. Their motto, by the way, is no birth is the first step to no kill. Since its founding, Rescue Pink has helped well over 2,200 dogs and cats through spay-neuter, medical care, fostering and rehoming, and more. The Animal Justice Task Force functions as the legal and advocacy arm of Rescue Pink, which Olson created to bring accountability, transparency, and urgency to animal cruelty and neglect cases. Indeed, as the Tampa Bay Times chronicled in an extended story earlier this year, Olson has dramatically altered the animal cruelty landscape of Central Florida, particularly when it comes to the manner of prosecuting cases, demonstrating a more fastidious and tenacious approach. This helps ensure convictions and significant sentencing. In addition to drawing notable media coverage, Olson has been recognized for her work in other ways, including receiving the Animal Hero of the Year Award from Florida Voices for Animals and the Presidential Lifetime Achievement Award from Pinellas County Animal Services. We'll discuss Rescue Pink, the Animal Justice Task Force, achievements of both, next steps for one or both, other topics and projects when I speak with Elizabeth Olson here in just a moment on Talking Animals on WMNF. Coming up later on today's program, I'll speak with Lori Posey of Labrador Retriever Rescue of Florida, a nonprofit dedicated to rescuing labs, placing them in caring foster homes, and sharing their stories through social media or other platforms on a path to placing the dogs in forever homes. With today being National Dog Day, I thought it fitting to briefly discuss a dog rescue and dogs, of course. More when Lori Posey joins me later here on Talking Animals on WMNF. Right now, though, let's get into my conversation with Elizabeth Olson and her two intersecting organizations, Rescue Pink and the Animal Justice Task Force, and the terrific efforts and achievements of both. With a reminder that I invite you to join the conversation by calling 813-239-9663, emailing dj at wmnf.org, or texting 813-433-0885. Let's welcome Elizabeth Olson to Talking Animals. Good morning, Elizabeth.
Good morning.
Thanks for joining us on Talking Animals.
Thank you for inviting me.
And who is the talking animal I see in the background there?
That's one of the five in the house.
Okay.
That's Muffin. That's little man Muffin.
Great.
And I've got a couple other ones laying around, including my 100-pound shepherd sitting next to me waiting for something to bark at.
Okay. Well, we'll try to give him something to bark at. We do like, you know, the show is called Talking Animals, so we love it if talking animals do talk in the background. That's great. That makes it more interesting and keeps the name of the thing, you know, more authentic. So, anyways, many interviews I conduct here, Elizabeth, on the show involve the founder of a rescue, a sanctuary, some other notable organization. Among the things that we typically hear is that as much as that person is passionate about what they do, running their organization involves a tremendous amount of work and enormous challenges. You, as I noted in the opening, have founded and run two organizations in probably bordering on another one, which makes me super curious about your history with animals. How did you feel about animals as a kid? When did you first feel a sort of a kinship with animals? Because you not only love animals, but your efforts show that you want to protect them whenever possible.
My mother would tell you a story if she was still here, but I was barely walking, maybe like a year and a half, and I would just run up to every dog I saw. So one time I went up to one and I had some licorice. I was trying to give the dog the licorice and it jumped up and accidentally bit my face. But that didn't stop me. I still kept chasing every animal around there was. I'd bring home all the strays. My dad was a softie. He let me keep everything. And my mom was like, oh, no, I don't want it in the house. But so that's kind of, it's just been ingrained in me my whole life. I don't know how to even explain it. Whenever I was watching movies, you know, I'd cry when King Kong died. You know, I just can't, people can die. It doesn't bother as much. But when the dogs die, I just can't help it. I just have this feeling. I don't know how to explain it, but I kind of feel what they feel when I look at them. So
super empathetic, just, right?
Yeah, I guess it is.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Like you really feel their whatever they're going through. You feel more vividly than most. And it sounds like that happened since you were a toddler.
Yeah, it has.
So how many, like at peak, do you remember how many animals were at the house when everybody said, okay, well, Elizabeth's got another one here. Let's let that one stay too.
Well, my mom would put her foot down, but so once I had one or two, they wouldn't let me have any more. But the peak of my own house, of my own animals, I had a German Shepherd, a Pit Bull, a Shih Tzu Maltese, and two cats. Then I had a litter of foster kittens with the mom, so I had another seven.
Oh,
so
goodness.
We had up to, in my own little home here, up to almost 15 animals in the house, but different sections, the kittens go elsewhere, but... So yeah, I've had quite a full house occasionally.
Yeah, and someone tells me you don't mind when that happens, when it gets to be kind of chaotic. It's like, yeah, another animal, bring them on. Yeah.
Yep.
Cool.
And when, that's for sure.
So was this straight through? So because we heard about when you were a toddler, and we know kind of what's happening now or recently, throughout that whole period, like when you're at school or growing up or first jobs, did you also have animals, maybe more than one along the way?
Yeah, I always did. Even when I was in college, I had a German Shepherd and a Golden Retriever, and then I became a flight attendant. So I flew to Dallas, or was based in Dallas, but or first I was based in New York, but I had the German Shepherd and Golden Retriever, so that was really tough. But then I did move to Dallas, and I also found somewhere to live with the dogs, and I found an apartment that would let me leave them. Apartment manager took care of them when I would flop. It's hard for me when people go, oh, I'm too busy or whatever, and they're rehoming their animals. When I went across the country with two large dogs and had a job where I traveled every week, and I still found a way to do it. So, I think if there's a will, there's a way. So I've never not had an animal. I mean, it's just always been that way.
Yeah, and it sounds like the more the merrier whenever possible.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds like one wouldn't really be sufficient for you.
I couldn't take it.
So let's talk about how some of that's kind of translated over the years. Let's talk a little bit about Rescue Pink. Talk about the sort of the idea behind it and how you wanted to distinguish it from other spay-neuter operations.
Well, there really isn't many other spay-neuter operations. There's not really too many rescues on their own that do it. I mean, there's facilities that do spay and neuter, but as far as rescues go, most of them are out there rehoming animals, taking in animals and rehoming animals. And so when I started volunteering at Pinellas County Animal Services in 2009, which is kind of why how this entire thing happened, I just volunteered there, but then I started their social media. I started their Facebook page because I was a digital marketing specialist at the Tampa Bay Times, and they didn't have a Facebook page. So I started it, and that enabled me to, help with everything really with the community. But then I'd start getting cruelty complaints and other complaints coming in, and I had to deal with enforcement a lot, like trying to figure out, how do we fix this? What's wrong here? And so, that's just what engulfed me in all this. And then also at the shelter, there would be animals coming in and just so many. And I said, I want to start something where we need spay and neuter. So many wonderful rescues are out there kind of mopping up the mess, and I wanted to turn off the faucet. So that's why I say no birth is the first step to no kill, because we don't have to worry about no kill if we don't have any births that are, too many of them. So then I just started my rescue and started doing spay and neuter. I still did other stuff, along the lines, helped rehoming, and the little guy behind me that was there,
I was going to tell you, Muffin Bailey, he said that guy asking the question seems kind of a dull guy, so I'm moving
Muffin,
along.
Are you camera shy? I ended up taking him in from homeless couple. So that was supposed to be temporary, but it ended up how many years later? So other things happened, but
I appreciate that you turned to ask Muffin, and so far no answer back. But that's my kind of person. That's my kind of talking
right
animal
now.
Person.
He's wanting to know if he's supposed to come over and sit on my lap. So
come on over and answer the question out loud.
He loves sitting up here. The other one has already given me the eye. The little white one I have too, but. I just started with that. And then I saw that the tethering law was a problem. We had one, but it was weak. And and they're still allowed tethering on a clothesline that they call a pulley system.
Yeah.
And I got a video at Animal Services through Facebook. Someone turned in this video of this poor German Shepherd, riddled with cancer, sideways, rain, couldn't reach his little bit of a doghouse he had because of the pulley system was stuck on a tree. So we had a wonderful director at that time, a new director called, her name's Mo Freeney, and she is amazing. And I went to her like very upset, and I said, why can't we change this ordinance so it's no unattended tethering? And so she agreed, we did. And so together, and we brought in Renee Rivard from League of Humane Voters. So we went in and we got it in front of the commission, and that was the first law that I initiated changing in Pinellas County. So the whole thing kind of spiraled from running their social media at Pinellas County Animal Services, because then I was able to see what was going on and what needed help. So that's why I did the spay and neuter on my part. But then the other part is the advocacy and the legislation changes.
And what is your view of no kill in places that sort of advocate, claim their no-kill numbers and that's what kind of facility they are? Seems like that's that kind of differs from your fundamental philosophy, if I understand it.
Well, not really. I mean,
the idea of no birth is the first step to no kill.
That should be the concentrating. And believe me, my opinion of the no-kill philosophy overall with shelters, it's not really high. I don't believe in fudging numbers. I don't believe in letting animals sit on the street, because you don't want to bring in animals that could be euthanized, so that would affect your number. I don't believe in managed intake, where people, you have to make an appointment, so therefore the dog doesn't ever get in the house, in the shelter. So I think the idea started out good, but it's turned into shelters doing things that are not good for animals to keep their number at a certain level, and I do not agree with that. So.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's my thought on it.
A lot of efforts to kind of fudge those numbers, and so
yes, people that you it hear, happens way too often.
Yeah. So, well, what obstacles are there facing the expansion of doing it more like Rescue Pink? I guess the fundamental issue is probably the cost of the surgeries.
Yeah, I mean, expanding Rescue Pink.
Yeah.
Or the spay and neuter. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Well, I mean, to have more, I mean, because it seems like it should be scalable, but it sounds like a key factor is getting more and more folks on board who would do the low cost surgeries.
Yeah.
And that's the only way you're going to get to where you could expand the kind of numbers you're seeing within the Rescue Pink world so far.
Right. And honestly, I think too much money is spent on the no-kill philosophy instead of stopping the problem. So that's as far as that part goes. But yes, I think way more low-cost spay and neuter is needed. I put up an event for $20 for your dog or cat to get fixed, and I had 530 entries for 36 spots.
Oh, my goodness.
So people want to get it done.
Yeah.
They just can't afford it. And some regular vets are charging $700, $800, so no one's going to do it. And then one litter of kittens equals over a million kittens in about 9 years. So that is the problem. I think if we had a lot more low cost spay and neuter, things could be a lot better. So I just got a wonderful donation yesterday. I do everything on donations. I do not take a salary. For me to keep doing what I'm doing, it is, just on donations only. And I have a wonderful donor who just sent me a nice donation, and that's going to enable me to do so many animals, and it makes me so happy. So yes, we can't run without donations, and that's what we use it for, the spay and low cost spay and neuter.
So at this point, Rescue Pink is strictly funded by donations. There's no other grants,
right,
or other things.
No.
So if people...
Not at this time. I applied to one grant, but I had never heard back. I'm so small. Like, a lot of the big organizations seem to get those. Little people like me, I'm basically a one-person rescue, and I don't really have that kind of... I don't know. I just don't have what it seems like they want to give it to the ones that are bigger for some reason.
Yeah. And it was just, of course, sort of backwards, because even as a one person operation, you're getting incredible results and numbers. And so you'd think the people that make those decisions about grants would say, wow, it's not a big operation here, but look at what she's done, look what she's doing, and look where she's headed. So you think?
Well, I think we are starting to get a little more of that. I have this one wonderful big donor here. She's donated twice now, and then I have another wonderful lady. So I think more people are seeing what I'm doing, and it's helping. But it's just really, I wish more local businesses, more bigger businesses in the community, and bigger businesses in general would really concentrate on this a little more than so many other things they concentrate on, you know? And so I think it would help a lot. And Harmony Vet Care has been amazing. They have three locations around Tampa Bay, and they are my go-to. I've done already 880 animals this year, and I have more scheduled with them, and also a smaller vet, which I love too, because they can a little more flexible on timing and stuff. And I have Best Friends Animal Hospital, and now I just started an event with Operation Snip, where we're doing kittens, mom and kittens as a group. Wow. So all that is founded by donations, and it's just every animal we help save is, you know, hundreds and not, if not thousands, less on the street.
So I guess we should note that the website is rescuepinkjustice.org. Is that where people could find out more, and that's where they could donate, yeah, if they wanted to help out with the funding of these spay neuter things and other things that you're doing?
Absolutely, they can go there. And I have a Facebook page, Rescue Pink Florida. There is another Rescue Pink, it's in India, it's for other things. But the mine is, of course, it's got a huge animal on it, so you'll be able to tell, but two animals actually. But anyway, so yeah, they can find me there, and the website's always great.
All right, so in case people might have tuned in a bit late, some folks might have, this is Talking Animals on WNF, I'm Duncan Strauss. If you did just tune in, my guest is Elizabeth Olson, who lives in Palm Harbor and is the founder of not one but two animal organizations. We're talking at the moment about Rescue Pink, which their mission is to reduce euthanasia and pet homelessness by promoting and funding spay and neuter programs. And then we'll talk in a moment or two about the Animal Justice Task Force, which functions as kind of the legal and advocacy arm, really, of Rescue Pink. And in altering how cruelty cases are prosecuted, she's boosted the prospect of convictions and more stringent sentences. So that's been really effective as well. If you'd like to ask Elizabeth a question or offer a comment, please call 813-239-9663. Email dj@wmnf.org or text 813-433-0885. So we may come back to some Rescue Pink stuff, but let's make sure we have plenty of time to discuss Animal Justice Task Force. So when and how did you decide, okay, well, here's what we need next in my ongoing, since I was a toddler, efforts to help animals?
Well, basically, someone reached out to me and said, do you remember the case a few years ago where a man was caught on video? Well, he videotaped himself sexually assaulting his husky in a husky costume. So of course that went viral. And I said, oh my gosh, of course I remember that. And she said, well, that guy has a husky puppy. And I said, what? So then I said, let me look into this case. And I found out he got a slap on the wrist. He got probation, even though there's 10 additional charges added to his other charge. And they had full video, full confession, and he still got probation. I was so irate. And now he's got a husky puppy. So I tracked down the state attorney on that case, who now is in statewide crimes in Hillsborough, but I wasn't letting go. I'm like, someone needs to explain to me what happened here, because this is insane. So anyway, he said he wanted, you know, the prosecutors wanted jail, but the judge wanted to give him a slap on the wrist, and that's what happened. So I said, well, that is messed up. So then I said, I'm going to start tracking some of these cases. So as soon as I saw any more cases coming over, I started a spreadsheet and I started keeping track of them. Then I also researched some past cases. I just said animal cruelty, Pinellas County. And so some past cases came up, and then I started looking to see how they ended up. And I was very upset about it. No one was getting prosecuted correctly. Everybody was getting slaps on the wrist. And I said, this is insane. This can't happen. This has to stop. So I started monitoring it and started going to court, like following cases going into court, gathering people together that on certain cases. Oh, then what really kicked it off is, unfortunately, one of our dogs at Pinellas County Animal Services, Dexter, was adopted, and he was literally beheaded within 24 hours. They found his body in Fort DeSoto. He was adopted on a Friday. Saturday morning, they have video of the man going over to Fort DeSoto with a cooler in the back of the truck. And then he was discovered, his body was discovered, I believe it was Tuesday. So anyway, long story short, he ended up going to trial for animal cruelty. And
I don't want to interrupt. Sure. Sure. Let me just ask, like, some of these things, are they just kind of asleep at the wheel? And these things, like, they're adopting out animals, people who probably shouldn't have an animal to begin with, and or if something is amiss, like there is a charge filed, are they too slack in terms of the process of charging them, and especially how it proceeds, if it does, to court? I mean, where is this falling apart, short of your own efforts, which have obviously bolstered a lot of this? But when you first started taking notice and saying, okay, I got to do something, I got to monitor these, I got to chase down the guy, I got to breathe down the attorney's neck, sounds like you had to do all those things to get some action here.
And that's really, what you mentioned was about five different avenues, because adoptions, let's start there. You know, no county shelters do any kind of real screening. They do little things like, oh, if you have another pet, you have to be updated on your rabies, things like that. But no one does home checks, no one does anything. So anybody can adopt a dog. So that's one side of it. And it's hard though, because it's a county shelter. They take in animals when no one else will, and they're full, and they don't have time to do all that. They don't have the staff to do all that. So that's one where they end up in the wrong hands. But the main part is, yes, the prosecution, lack of prosecution. Sometimes the police officers don't arrest people. I just had a case the other day brought to me that a man left his dog starving in his house, abandoned him for 3 weeks. The dog was almost emaciated. So the police officer called the man up, found him in Hernando, where he lives now, let him come and take the dog with him. Now, clearly the man couldn't care less if that dog died. That man, in my opinion, should have been immediately arrested on the spot. What he did was he violated 828.13, which is animal abandonment, and that police officer should have arrested him right then and there. Instead, he gives him the dog to take somewhere else, and now no one can find the dog anywhere. So God knows what he did with it. So it's different aspects. We have some wonderful, wonderful officers. Pinellas County, we have a ton of cases. That means our officers are doing their job when they see stuff, and I love that. A lot of the rural areas, not so much. And then when we get to court, that the officers do their job, then it's up to the prosecutors. So then we have that issue. And many times they do a good job. They're doing better than they used to. I'll tell you that. But still not good enough. I just had a case in. And then there's step three, is the judge. So even if we get a guilty verdict, which we did just recently in Hillsborough County, we got a guilty verdict by a jury, and the judge gave him a slap on the wrist. So the man starved his dog to death, tortured him literally for months, starving him. Nothing was in his stomach but rocks and, you know, grass and dirt. And the vet testified to that, everything. The jury found him guilty. And the judge gives him 30 days in jail and 11 months probation, which was so upsetting to me. Like, so we have the ball being dropped in all areas. You know, you don't even know where to start. It just depends. Each case is different.
But it sounds like we've got laws that may be a bit too toothless in some cases, and or enforcement is a bit too wiggly or non-existent even in some cases. It sounds like the dog hadn't been fed initially. I mean, it sounds like there's multiple things that were shocking about
that. Well,
actually,
we have plenty of laws. We have more laws than we can even use. And one case that fell down.
Are they firm and effective and enforceable?
They are. But here's the problem. Like, one case of felony animal cruelty, you can get up to 5 years in jail. But here's the other thing we have to deal with in Florida. We go by sentencing points a lot of times. Unless it's a cruelty case, then they ignore it and they give them nothing. But generally, in some cases. But the sentencing points of each account, like one count of felony animal cruelty is 28 points. And then each additional count is less. It's just the way it works. But jail is 44 points. So if you get 44 points, the state recommendation is prison. So if you have under 44 points, it's really up to the discretion of the judge. But this case, and here it is, the ultimate shock of this is what happens sometimes in animal cases. The man was convicted of 10 counts of felony animal cruelty. His points were 198 points. Okay, that is minimum guidelines of 10 years in prison by Florida state statute. And you know what he got? Probation.
I'm guessing, yeah, I was going to say
So there is the ultimate glaring example, and it wasn't even what they call a downward departure where a judge did it. The judge still okayed it, but the prosecutor agreed to it, and so did the defense. So technically, if a judge did something that different than what the guidelines, he would have to literally fill out something because that's just crazy. But he didn't have to because he let them decide, and that's what they decided. So I called the state attorney's office, and I had and they had the supervisor call me on that case, and we talked for 40 minutes. And I told him I appreciated him calling me, but I absolutely did not agree with his sentencing. And he did say, well, I'll keep this in mind for the next sentence. And
okay,
so that's,
well, that's something.
Yeah.
Well, let me get a caller involved, and then I want to come back to the issue of
okay.
the points, if that's possible. Hi, you're on Talking Animals with Elizabeth Olson.
Hi, yeah, this is Susie, and I just wanted to say, first of all, it's horrifying to hear these things, but one of the things that I've learned from watching a lot of true crime is that obviously, you know, harder crimes start with animal cruelty. And so...
Yes.
If some of these judges maybe don't have the so much empathy for the animals or don't see it as such a big deal, I think it's important to also let them know that this is the beginning stages of severe crime happening it on a more massive scale to human beings too. So you know, it's a huge red flag in terms of someone's behavior. And is somebody that could potentially turn into a serial killer. So I think there's a big part of education that might need to happen as well, and awareness that also with these cops, you know, like they're just seeing it as like, oh, it's no big deal. But it's a huge red flag. And I think that needs to be emphasized as well. And I appreciate all the work you're doing. That is horrific to be able to know about this. So just wanted to add that on, and thank you for all your effort.
Thank you so much for your call. Any response there, Elizabeth? Thank you.
Yeah,
thank you,
she's 100% correct. When I was working with State Representative Cheney, we're working, you know, I had a meeting with all of them, so her and some other large animal advocates statewide, and she's a state representative, but that's the main thing. It doesn't end at animals. You know, it goes into people, and it's a step up. It's just Dahmer, every single serial killer you've ever heard of has always started with animals. So yes, she's 100% right, and that is another reason why we should be prosecuting these people to the fullest extent of the law.
So here's a question kind of related to this, and again, the thing, so many things pop in my head now, including that if you hadn't chased down some of these things and, you know, gotten in the, you know, attorney's face and some other stuff, you just wonder how much worse the situation would be than what we're discussing right now. But let me go back, just because it seems tangible, and yet there seems like there's something totally amiss, because the sentencing points that you mentioned,
mm-hmm.
if in that one case, if it was 198 points, what am I missing that the judge had that much kind of discretion to then basically just sort of do effectively a slap on the wrist, not say, hey, you got 198 points, this is what's going to happen to you, Buster, and it's going to be ugly.
Well, like I said, in that case, this is why when I reached out to the state attorney, like totally having a heart attack over this, and he had the supervisor on the case, not even the attorney on the case, but his supervisor, call me and try to explain this to me. So his basic explanation was, it was video. Okay, so it wasn't in-person animal abuse, and because it was through video, which is still a felony animal cruelty. And so he said, we're making him go through the domestic violence courses and all these things. And he said, maybe we can turn him around. And I said, well, he's 55 years old. You really think you're going to turn him around? I said, how could he not get even one day in jail with 10 felony animal cruelty, you know, convictions? I said, would you do that if someone was convicted of rape for 10 counts of rape? Would you just give him probation on hopes that they'd turn around? And so that's why I told you, he said our conversation, you know, he said he'd keep it in mind for the next one. So I don't know. I don't know why he would do that. I don't know why anybody would agree to a sentence like that. believe me, every day it boggles my mind. I'm just the judge in the Hillsborough case last week. I don't even know. I'm still trying to shake my head on that. And then another thing is the public records. That's another whole story. So getting public records can be easy or it can be hard. And I tried to pull up the judge's sentencing on that case in Hillsborough, and then it was suddenly blocked. So I had to do one of my letters and say, you know, the state statute says I'm allowed to see this. And so now they're letting me have it, but now they're charging me for 2 pages, which is crazy. So, and Hillsborough actually is fantastic. They have a great state attorney's office overall. So, and again, this wasn't really more the state attorney's office. It was the judge in that case. The state attorney did a great job on that case. They got a conviction. So it's just it's like there's obstacles in every section.
And you have to know how to navigate, like what county, what office does this or what office does that, what's very good and what's kind of lackluster. So let me take another call, Elizabeth, and I have a question or a comment from an emailer as well. Hi, you're on Talking Animals with Elizabeth Olson. Hello, it's you. Did we lose you? You were holding for a bit, but we might have lost you. Okay. Well, you can always call back 813-239-9663. One of our emailers says, Hillsborough County Animal Control was on the phone with us when the police made us give back cats that we trapped for TNR off of their property, which is lawful. The police and animal control are not on the same page. Has that been your experience as well, Elizabeth?
It's hard for me to talk about stuff like that. But yeah, I agree. I think another thing that's seriously needed is training for our police officers. Like I said, I just gave you that example where he gave the dog back to a guy who literally committed a crime. And so, yes, I agree. I think animal services, and the police should the police department should have more training together. And so they're both on the same page. So I agree with her or him, whoever emailed that in.
Okay. Let's try another call now. Hi, you're on Talking Animals with Elizabeth Olson.
Hello, can you hear me, I hope?
Yes, we can hear you. Go ahead, please.
Okay, perfect. So when it comes to voting, is it easy to pull up the judge's rulings on, different cases so we can vote those judges out to, do these ridiculous sentencing?
Yeah, well, here's the thing. I started this spreadsheet, which is very in-depth now, and across it, it tells you everything, who the judge was, who the prosecutor was, the charges, the bond. I have everything written down. This is really extensive and very time-consuming, and if anybody wants to help me with the research, let me know. But anyway, so yes, that's another issue, and unfortunately, as a nonprofit, I'm not allowed to say as a nonprofit who to vote for. It's just it's a rule with the IRS. But personally, if you go to my personal page, I usually talk about who I vote for. But yes, my spreadsheet does have the judges that are on each case. The thing is with judges, and I just helped a judge get elected on her campaign. They're in the seat for 6 years. It's really hard to really just turn it over. So it's not as easy as it sounds, And the prosecutor, the ASAs, assistant state attorneys that are trying these cases are hired. They're not elected. The state attorney is elected. But even then, right now, I think in Pinellas County, we don't have anybody running against our state attorney. So if no one runs against them, what are we going to do? So, but voting out is really an important option, and it's powerful. And they really should be answering to the constituents. So I don't want to make it seem like it's hopeless. It's really, really important. But I'm just telling you some of the obstacles with that. But yes, we got to try to vote out. Well, I'm actually in the process of trying to get someone better on the Pinellas County Commission right at the moment. Anyway, that's beside the point, because especially in county commissions, you can see their track record of voting. And I'm very aware of who in Pinellas County votes for what. So anybody has any questions, they can email me.
Where do we get your spreadsheet?
You can go to, I'm trying to find a way that they'll be linked to everyone. If you go to my Rescue Pink page on Facebook, it's Rescue Pink Animal Rescue and Animal Justice Task Force. I do share it quite a bit up there. I also have an Animal Justice Task Force group. And that's it's actually a public group. Everybody can even see it, but you can join. And I do share the link a lot there. I think I have it actually tagged at the top, but that I will be putting it out there more, but this spreadsheet is eye opening. Let's put it that way. And then I have also a tab for past cases. So all the past cases, which are really the most heartbreaking.
Look, all right, thank you.
You wanted a talking animal. There you go.
Thank you for your call.
Anyway, so the past cases are on there, too. I have a lot of information. So if you also want to email, anybody wants to email me at rescuepink@gmail.com with any questions, I'd be happy to share things as well.
And I was going to say, Elizabeth, that you're talking about some of the difficulty of getting grants and funding is because you're a one-person show. But to me, it sounds like with all the great work you're doing, what you really need, among other things, A, is donations, and B, is actual help, people that feel similar to you do, helping out with some of the research, with the spreadsheet, chasing down lawyers and judges. And by the way, one of our emailers said, please tell us the judges' names. I just tuned in. So I don't know if you want to do that, but...
Actually, I don't have the Hillsborough one in front of me right now. And the other judge with the case with the Husky, with the sexual assault, that judge has retired. Mm. So right now, I don't really have too many judges that I'm upset with their rulings at this moment. But again, the spreadsheet has a lot of them and some of the outcomes with it. But this is the thing. You can't blame just the judge. A lot of it is the prosecutors and what the state attorney agrees to. So each avenue, it depends on which one could be the one that's the problem. But sometimes they're both that way, but mostly it's one or the other, you know, as far as sentencing goes.
So I may take another call here, and I want to get some more questions before we start to get near the end of our time. But let's just remind folks that the website is rescuepinkjustice.org. And again, there's Facebook pages and other things. But if you want to find out how you could help out, whether that's by donating or volunteering and helping Elizabeth, obviously she needs help, and it seems like you're working tirelessly on all these things, and it just seems like your efforts are expanding. Which we'll hopefully have time for yet another thing you're kind of focusing on when it comes to groomers and stuff. But let me see if our caller may have left the building because it's been a while. Hi, you're on Talking Animals with Elizabeth Olson.
Hi. I just wanted to call in, Elizabeth. I didn't know you were going to be the guest this week, but I have emailed you and spoken to you several times. I live in Pasco County. I bought a bunch of copies of the article that was in the Tampa Bay Times. I'm not sure how many months ago that was, but...
February, I believe.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a good article. What I want to know is, along the lines of some of these other comments, is why can't we, in this day and age of social media, publicly shame whichever party has fallen down on their duty to protect society? As the woman said earlier, animal abuse is highly correlated with eventual human violence. So why can't we publicly shame if the state attorney's office person is not elected? That doesn't matter. They're getting paid by tax dollars, the judge or the other parties. Why can't we publicly shame and humiliate these people and get their names out there?
I think that's certainly what the emailer had in mind that asked about the judge's name. I think that's exactly...
I do on Rescue Pink. I post stuff. Matter of fact, I'm because of this case in Hillsborough. I was gathering some other information because we had another case here in Pinellas. I wasn't happy with the sentence either. So I was going to get ready and do a post. And I do mention the judge's name. I put the public records up there. I do that. So the one with the case with the Husky was a long time ago, and so that, like I said, the judge is gone. But that was the most egregious case I've ever seen in my life. But there's a lot of bad ones. So. You know, I do post them on my rescue page and in the Animal Justice Task Force. We post every article about animal abuse in there and that group. So the Animal Justice Task Force group, we post everybody that's arrested in there. It's very public. People see it.
So why isn't the television media plastering their names across their TV shows?
Mm. Well, you can't get other people to do what you'd like them to do. We're lucky. Luckily, Fox News has been, local news here, has been so good. They've covered, and just recently we had a case with, called Riley's Law, about a dog groomer, where the dog died on the table. And so that's that's on my page too. It's caused quite the stir. Channel 13 did an interview with me and the owner of the dog, and then she even did the groomer last night. But so you know, some media is picking up on it. I think it's the more Brevard County has Sheriff Ivy. He's amazing. He takes video of the animal abusers as they're being locked into jail. So that's how we'd like every sheriff to act. So there's good ones out there. It just takes time, believe me. I mean, it's just time to change things. It's hard to change the way people do things, and you can't make people care either. A lot of people don't care. A lot of people don't care when they're in as judges or prosecutors or whatever. They don't care. So,
well,
you know, that's
what you do.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
So with that in mind, Elizabeth, thank you. Thank you, caller. We are nearing the end of our time. So in our maybe a couple minutes that we have left, what's something you'd really like to have happen or be sure that we mention before we finish our chat here today, or any other pleas for help? We've noted that you could use some help, that you could certainly use some donations. And again,
right,
the website for that is rescuepinkjustice.org, and there's social media pages as well. But what's one or two remaining things that you think are really important for people to know before we have to say goodbye for today?
Well, like I said, you know, the donations keep us going, doing the spay and neuters. For the task force, we need people to show up to hearings. Everybody complains on social media. They're all in uproar. And then we have three people at the hearings. You know, like, where is everybody? Where's all the outrage? You know, also, like I said, you know, showing up. And then because there's so much legal work involved, if there's like a paralegal, or I'm actually a paralegal, if there's a paralegal out there or anybody who wants to help, or an attorney that wants to donate some time to help us, that's even better. So, you know, they can write letters for us. So really anybody that wants to, you know, volunteer their time, especially specialists, that would help me, because it's hard for me to train people. It's just a lot of work to train. And I've tried to train a couple people and then they don't come back. I think they said, oh, forget it. So that's why someone who knows what they're getting into, you know, how to work the clerk's websites. That's very helpful too. So, and then keep an eye out for Riley's Law. We're going to start working on that, where pet groomers have to have some sort of qualifications or procedures in place if there's an emergency. We're not asking for major, you know, tons of stuff they have to do. We just want them to have like something on the wall when this dog died on the table and they just kind of stood around. Like, no, and there's a vet across the street. Why wouldn't they have just ran over there? So things like that. So that's why we're working on Riley's Law. So just keep an eye on our web, on the page. I don't update the website as much as social media, because everything is moving so fast.
Yeah.
So really the social media, the Animal Justice Task Force group, and the Rescue Pink Facebook page is really where all the information is.
All right. Well, that's great. Well, we've been speaking with Elizabeth Olson. And again, as she just noted, the website, which is probably not moving as quickly, keeping up, is rescuepinkjustice.org. And then there's the Animal Justice Task Force group, social media page, and then the Rescue Pink Facebook page, where you can find out more and track kind of what's happening and see how you can maybe get involved and help out. So, Elizabeth, thank you so much.
One other little thing. And don't forget to microchip your pets. My friend Mary would have a heart attack if I forgot to mention that. It's something small, but it really saves, you know, it keeps your pet in your house and not on the street somewhere or someone else picking it up. So microchips are important too.
Okay, cool. Well, thank you so much, Elizabeth, for your amazing, tireless work. And let's hope some people will help out and step up and help you do this amazing work and expand your reach and get more convictions where they belong, etc.
Thank you so much, Duncan. I appreciate this.
Thank you. In a moment, I'll speak with Lori Posey, of Labrador Retriever Rescue of Florida. Today is National Dog Day. So a good day to talk dogs, and I figured, why not labs? We'll address that very question when Lori Posey joins us in a moment here on Talking Animals on WMNF. Right now, we're going to step into the comedy corner, which as always is a piece of animal-oriented comedy. This one is by Shane Smith, yet another newcomer to the comedy corner. Here now with a piece entitled Diabetic Dog, from Shane Smith in today's comedy corner on Talking Animals on WMNF.
I get it from my mom. She's a crazy person. Does anyone else relate to that? She's a wild woman, all right? Those people get it. And so, yeah, my mom, here's a thing that happened recently. I laughed at my mom so hard in public that she started yelling at me you know? Here's the backstory. Have you ever, by the way, laughing so hard, like falling down in the aisle at the grocery store, and I laughed. Here's what happened. She told me her dog had diabetes, okay? And I started laughing so hard. No, it's so fat. Of course it does, you know? It's so big. And she was like, it's not funny. How could I have known he has diabetes? And I'm like, probably because he looks like a propane tank with legs. That's how, you know? There were so many clues. He's huge. Of course he's diabetic. And then also, you feed him people food all the time. I caught her feeding him Doritos Locos Tacos from Taco Bell once. It's like, why are you feeding him the more expensive tacos, you know? This is true. She goes, he prefers them. I was like, what? Did he tell you that? What is happening here? Also, he's a Chihuahua. We get it, you know? It's ridiculous. My mom, so we're a Jewish family. She names the dog Mazel Tov, okay? She's telling me about him getting diagnosed. She takes him to the vet. She's got one of these crazy vets who, like, talks to their animals like they're patients, you know? So he's, like, sitting there with my mom and the dog. It looks him, the dog, right in his stupid, fat, diabetic face, okay? No one feel bad for him. He's not here. We can make fun of him. Also, he's a dog. He has no idea what's happening at all times, okay? The vet looks right at him and goes, Mazel Tov.
That was Shane Smith in today's Comedy Corner with a piece called Diabetic Dog, taken from the collection called Dry Bar Angel. Now it's time to talk with Lori Posey of Labrador Retriever Rescue of Florida. Today is, after all, National Dog Day. So let's welcome Lori Posey to Talking Animals on WMNF. Good morning, Lori.
Good morning. How are you?
Thanks for joining us on Talking Animals. Appreciate it.
Thank you for inviting us.
So let's start off with, based on the day that this is, what does something like National Dog Day mean for Labrador Retriever Rescue of Florida or you individually?
For me, I guess in general, I've been a dog lover all my life, specifically to the Labrador Retriever breed, and it's one of the reasons why I got involved with Labrador Retriever Rescue about 20 years ago. We've been around for about 26 years this year, and it's really rewarding to help place Labrador Retrievers that have lost their home through hardship with families or ended up in the shelter, and then match them with other families, because I find that dogs bring a lot of happiness to people. They're a great companion and they're always by your side.
That's great. Well, that's a good answer as any. So can you maybe provide us a brief overview of Labrador Retriever Rescue of Florida, like when it was founded, its mission, and especially like how it actually works if somebody listening is saying, hey, it's time for us to get a lab or adopt a dog, maybe we'll do a lab. What should they know?
So what they should know is we have a website. It's LRROF.org.
Okay.
And on our website, it talks about our mission. We've been around since 2000, and we are foster home-based, which that means is we are all run by volunteers. We don't have any facilities to hold our dogs. We rely on veterinary partners, our volunteers, and our donors to rescue labs. And when we get them in, one of the most common things that we treat them for is heartworm. We do all their vaccinations, spay and neuter. And the easiest way for people to get involved is go to our website. There's a section there about adopting, volunteering, and donating.
Great. Well, that answered some of my questions, because I was going to ask not only how to adopt, but how to volunteer. And obviously the organization, I guess, is statewide based on its name, right?
Yes, we're statewide, and we're divided into three regions. We have a South region, Central region, and North region, but we all work together as one organization.
That's great. So I guess dogs obviously are found in each of those areas. So if someone's looking like, hey, I live in such an area, there's probably dogs that are adoptable and potentially available to them, regardless of where they are.
Sometimes they have to drive a little bit. So if somebody lives in Naples, Florida, they see a dog on our website in Orlando or Jacksonville, and if they become a match for that dog, they would take a trip to see that dog. And sometimes that's challenging for people that don't want to drive far. And if they don't want to drive far, it just might take a little bit longer to find them a match in their region.
Yeah, well, it just, you know, it depends on how serious you are about adopting a dog.
Yes.
And are there any adoptable dogs currently, regardless of what their area is, that you think we should know about in particular, but their story is notable in some way or some other element?
We have about We get senior dogs in from time to time, and right now we have about 7 senior dogs, ages 7 to 14. The senior dogs, believe it or not, sometimes take a little bit longer to adopt because of their age, but they're still wonderful companions. They're settled. A lot of them are house trained. They just want to hang out by your side. So if you don't want to deal with a young, exuberant, energetic lab, a senior dog is always a great option for someone. And most of them are doing good. They might, you know, they're probably just a little more slowed down with arthritis or they're older, but they make great companions. So we have about 7 senior dogs on our website, and then we also have several young ones. Some of our young ones need a little bit more training, so they need some active families that are willing to train them and help them grow out of their teenage stage.
And are there differences, Lori, in the adoption fees, depending on if it's a senior or if it's a young spry?
Yes, the adoption fees vary. When people apply to adopt on our website, there's a $50 application fee, and that application fee, once the person is approved, goes towards their adoption fee. The senior dogs are $250, so they are at a reduced adoption cost. And all of our dogs come microchipped, vaccinated, and they're spayed and neutered.
That's great. Cool. So yep. any special plans personally to celebrate National Dog Day?
Oh, I'm just going to hang out with my 2 labs today like I usually do, maybe take a couple of pictures of them. But to me, every day is National Dog Day because I'm just a dog lover and I love Labradors. They're so much fun.
That's great. Well, that sounds perfect. Well, good for you. Well, this has been Lori Posey from Labrador Retriever Rescue of Florida. Again, the website is LRROF.org. If you want to find out more about the organization or how to volunteer or how to adopt and see some of those beautiful dogs that are available for adoption. So, Lori, thank you so much for joining us on Talking Animals.
Thank you. Have a great day.
You too. Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Coming up on WNF, it's The Conversation. Great show hosted by Mario Nunez and Joe King Carter. After that, it's The Scoop, WNF's brief news recap. But then we shift back into music programming with Sam Vall holding forth from 1 to 3. Then Joan Ellen Schilke is in for Nancy C today, hosting the Traffic Jam from 3 to 6 p.m. Meanwhile, on this show at the moment, is a prize for Name That Animal Tune. We'll be offering something cool from the Talking Animals vault. So to the first person who calls 813-239-9663 and correctly identifies this animal song, I've seen that animal tune on Talking Animals on WMNF. Reached the end of today's edition of Talking Animals on WMNF Tampa. Invited to tune in next Wednesday when my guest will be Gretchen Primack, a poet and activist who's organizing a huge march to abolish animal testing, a large-scale event that involves marching from the New York State Capitol building in Albany to the country's biggest lab dog breeding facility in the country, Marshall Bioresources. We'll talk all about the impetus for that, logistics, how people can get involved, and more next Wednesday on Talking Animals with Gretchen Primack. We'll also invite you to visit talkinganimals.net for audio archives of every show we've ever broadcast. Apple Podcasts are available there too, as well as on other podcast platforms. Links to our social media there as well. And you can also subscribe to our newsletter to find out about our guests a couple of days beforehand and other news from the Talking Animals world. I'm talking Duncan Strauss. Thanks very much for listening. Have a good week. Be kind to animals. Be kind to others. Be kind to yourself. This is Talking Animals on WNF Tampa, Brandon, Clearwater, Largo, Weeki Watching, and beyond. Thanks.